There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Let's roll. This is Sports Ridge. I am Gabriel Moretti, and the Pips, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people above them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. Countdown to kickoff is on. We've got a big weekend of football coming up. College football, the college football playoff rankings, of course, are starting to get serious right now. There's not a million big-time games this week, but there's a couple of them with big-time implications. And USC and Oregon, biggest game on the board this week in college football. We got the Buffalo Bills and the Houston Texans on tap, but the NFL is really starting to get interesting right now. Of course, the Kansas City Chiefs are on the ropes at 5-5, taking on the Indianapolis Colts this weekend. We haven't had our boy Joe Gibbs on the show yet this year. We've tried a couple of times, but we can finally make it happen now. You see him on Twitter, NFL Ref Stats 1, and he's been on the show with us in the past. We often retweet his breakdowns and previews of the National Football League games. Joe Gibbs in the house with us. What's going on, Joe? Thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Good, Gabe. Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. We got the Ranger Reddit, Cam Stewart in the house. How you doing, Cam?
Doing good, Moretti. Let's keep the train rolling, buddy. Big games. I can't wait to bet on this Bills game tonight, and we got some nice ones this weekend.
Now, let me start off. So, of course, Joe's account, NFL ref stats, and let me get the exact Twitter account, because, man, I hate these all these Twitter handles. NFL ref stats one. but we retweet his stuff often. But Joe breaks down the referees and the trends and how the referees call the games, and pretty much the only person in the business that does this. And it's interesting because when it comes to baseball, really sharp baseball bettors, Joe, they know the umpires, right? I mean, a casual doesn't even know who the umpires are on a daily basis, but hardcore baseball bettors are aware of, yeah, listen, this guy's got a small strike zone. This guy calls this. This guy calls that. Football people never talk about the refs, really, and the trends and the tendencies that they have coming into the games. That's why I like Joe's work so much. And let me start off, though, before we get into sort of the games themselves. Me personally, Joe, it seems to me that the NFL refs are doing a better job this year than they have in past years. Now, there's going to be a call here. There's going to be a call there that we don't agree with. And there's going to be bad calls. But, you know, humans make mistakes. And, you know, referees are going to get it wrong sometimes. But as a whole, it doesn't seem to be as catastrophic as it was in past years, Joe. Am I crazy in thinking this, or is the refereeing as bad as it's always been in the NFL?
Some would beg to differ with you, Gabe. I'm kind of with you. There's always going to be those bad calls, and last Sunday night was a prime example of that with the Lions at the Eagles on Sunday night.
Yeah, the pass interference late in the football game. Yeah, on the Detroit Lions, which was a clown show call. I don't know what the hell they saw. But I don't blame the entire systematic, like, sort of process for that bad call, Joe.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. When it happens right at the end of the game, that becomes the focal point. They ignore the other 59 minutes of the game, and Detroit had plenty of opportunities to, you know, take advantage, and they just didn't do it. So, but that's an easy scapegoat, is to blame the pass interference call at the end. But yeah, overall, it's been fine. There's always going to be mistakes. There's 130 plays in a game. You're going to get one or two egregious calls over the course of time. So just comes with the territory. But yeah, another season, and we'll see what happens this week.
What I've never understood, and we saw the same thing happen in the Grey Cup championship game, in which I thought, you know, the Grey Cup, I thought, was incredibly well officiated for the most part as well. The CFL, very transparent, although they don't let you hear what their replay booth sees. But there was a play in which a quarterback got lit up, and they didn't call it on the field. The referees didn't see it. The quarterback got hit late, and he got hit in the head. And the league stepped in and, like, basically told the referee, listen, you got to call a penalty on this. He did get hit. So they took a minute. They sort of, and he came back and he said, you know, all right, it's come to our, you know, it's come to our conclusion that he actually did get hit. And they threw the flag. The NFL head office, Joe, they can play God when they want to, but it seems like they only do it every once in a while for the Kansas City Chiefs. like yes. Over the years where, you know what I mean? Like, the league steps in. You would know this, Joe, and how it works more, but they can do it whenever they want. They don't do to seem to do it often. And that's what always bothers me is it's like, we know you guys can do this, but you only seem to do it in isolated moments for certain teams. What are your thoughts on that, Joe, and the NFL and how they really can just call the referee and tell him, no, no, you're going to do this, but they don't do it often.
Yeah, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. Like, they can do it, but like you said, they pick and choose when they want to do it in certain situations for certain teams. And more often than not, it's a high-profile team that gets the benefit of the doubt, which, look, it's a business. They want certain teams to be at the forefront. And there's no transparency with what they do. And so we're all left in the dark. And, yeah, it does raise some questions. And social media goes wild with conspiracy theories. I don't know if it's that deep, but yeah, they could, but they don't.
Almost. You know, I just always go back to, we as bettors are going to blame everybody for our losses. Coaches are going to blame people. And like, the Detroit Lions couldn't score a touchdown. So yeah, they got screwed on the call, but we're supposed to believe that suddenly you guys were going to score a touchdown and, or, you know, late in the game, you scored a Williams early, but you couldn't get anything going all night after. So I don't know. I think as I've gotten older, I just sort of blame other people less, right, for our own mistakes, which I think a lot of people, like, you know, in the world, and especially sports bettors, it's never their fault, right? It's the referee, it's the team, it's the player, it's the system, it's the process. It's always, it's something, as opposed to, listen, it was a bad pick. But the Buffalo Bills playing tonight against Houston Texans, and I can tell you, being a Bills fan, the Houston Texans have been a bitch for the Buffalo Bills over the years. I don't know what it is, why. Like, better Bills teams have gone in there and lost. I had a bad flashback the other day of the Buffalo Bills going for it on, like, fourth down from their own goal line. Right, like, they've done some really stupid things in Houston. They've lost a playoff game there over the years. Like, I can go on and on. Like, the Buffalo Bills have not had pleasant memories when they play the Houston Texans in Houston. For whatever reason, it's bizarre world, but it's the facts. And look, they beat them. Houston beat them 23-20 the last time they played. They beat them 22-19 in overtime a couple of years ago. They beat them 2013 the year before that. And in fact, like, the Houston Texans have beaten the Bills three of the last four times that they played. As far as the officiating crew is concerned, tonight we have Adrian Hill doing the refereeing. As their head ref, the Buffalo Bills are 5-0 straight up and 4-1 against the spread with Adrian Hill, including 4-0 straight up and 3-1 against the spread on the road and or neutral fields. Texans really haven't seen them all that much. Something that's interesting here, Joan, is there a reason for this? Why is Adrian Hill's games 8-2 to the under, or is that just random in your opinion?
No, I think there's some reasoning behind it. He calls an above average percentage of his penalties on the offense. The other thing that's interesting is third down penalties. He calls a disproportionate amount of his penalties on the offense on third down plays. He leads the league in that. So you think about that, those key downs, third down, these guys are predisposed to calling more penalties on the offensive side of the ball. So over the course of the game, that adds up to less than ideal field position. And as a result, you get lower scoring games. He's 8-2 to the under this season, leads the league in that category. So there are some reasonings behind it.
That is very interesting. And Hill's career Cruz calls him and his crew are big on offensive holding and false starts. So like Joe said, there's referees that look for different things and they get locked into it, right? Some refs are going to be, I'm not bothered by that. Other refs are like, yeah, I don't like when teams do this. And he's big on offensive holding and false starts, which, as Joe just stated, would lead to, you know, sputtering drives and slowing drives down. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the Buffalo Bills are the number one penalized team in the NFL for offensive holding. You know, when I look at this game, I was thinking of a more of a lower scoring game as well. I don't know what your feeling is, Cam, or what your pick is for the Buffalo Bills at Houston, Texas. What's your final pick?
Actually, Morenci, the fact the line went up, and you talk about the Bills' horrible performances against Houston. I'll never forget that playoff game where they just threw it away. You're absolutely right. But I think this is a statement spot for the Bills. The Patriots are playing such good football. Buffalo needs to take care of business. As for the total, 43.5, Gabe, I actually think there might be points in this game. I think Houston can score on the Bills' defense. As we saw Tampa Bay, they lit them up, but Buffalo will be able to score on Houston. I know Houston's D is pretty good, but the Bills have so many weapons in this spot. We saw what Allen did taking the game over with his legs against Tampa Bay. So 43.5, Gabe, I know you're an over better, and a lot of people will tend to take the under here, but I think that total is just a little bit light. I think we can get there tonight, and I'm leaning with the Buffalo Bills to win this game by a touchdown, Morenci.
Joe, I see your final score prediction. Buffalo Bills 23, Houston Texans 19. Your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, these Thursday games have not been pretty. Let's put it that way. I don't see this one being any different. Texans defense is lights out. It's like top two, top three unit in the league. They're going to have to win on the back of that and just control the game. It's just a shame CJ Stroud's not playing. If he was, I'd be much more excited. But Mills is a capable backup. I mean, selfishly, I'd like to see Houston win because it keeps them in the mix going forward. If they lose tonight, it's kind of tough sledding as far as making the playoffs. So selfishly, I'd like to see Houston win just to keep them as another team in the mix, which makes my job easier because it's another team to cover. But yeah, the Bills haven't lost with Adrian Hill, so that's certainly something to hang your hat on. And we'll see what happens tonight.
And we should mention Josh Allen has never lost on Thursday Night Football before.
Wow. Well, there you go.
He's 8-0, which I find hard to believe because I'm thinking
8-0.
There's got to be.
Wow. The Bills always seem to play Miami every Thursday night, like week two or week three, and they always win that game.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of them. You're right. I was just thinking about them. I'm like, nah, man, Buffalo have choked a lot in prime time over the years.
Not on Thursday.
I'm a hardcore Bills fan, so I call it like it is, Joe. But I guess, yeah, we choke on Sunday nights. We choked on Monday. I think Monday night's been more of a bitch for them for whatever reason. But, yeah, Josh Allen is 8-0 on Thursday night football.
Yeah,
but
I'd guess half of those are against Miami on Thursday night.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. The Houston Texans, number one scoring defense in the National Football League. They only give up 16.3 points per game. The thing is with the Bills, there's a perception with the Bills that their defense sucks, right? But their defense doesn't suck. Their rushing defense sucks. So there's a difference. So, yeah, they give up ground. You know, they'll give up yards on the ground and stuff. But as far as scoring is concerned, which is the ultimate, you know, thing that matters the most, and I always hate when I get, you know, these handicappers, oh, the yards this, and they got up how many yards are – you know, a team is terrible. Yeah, but they out-yarded the other team. Who cares?
Right.
Who cares? Right? It's like, good for you. I mean, you got to score points. That's what it's about to me, points. And Houston only give up 16.3 points a game. They really do have a lethal defense. Like Joe said, one of the best defense in the National Football League. But Buffalo give up 23 points a game. 22.9, which is 14th in the National Football League. It's sort of right in the middle there. So it's not as though the Bills are giving up 30 points a game or something like that. Like the, you know, the Bengals are giving up 33. The Cowboys are giving up 29. I'm with your final score prediction, Joe. You got it 23-19. I sort of keep coming back to 23-20.
Yeah.
I think the Bills, like I said, I think the odds makers nailed it, right? Sometimes you got to admit it and say, man, they got this number right on. Like, I think the Bills are a little bit overpriced. I think the total's bang on. I keep coming back to like, yeah, 23-20 type of game, you know, Bills by three. But I mean, that would be able to tease both sides to the over and under, actually, Cam. I think it's actually going to be like right around the number. 24-21 Bills, 24-20 Bills. Yeah. Joe's got a 23-19. I said 23-20. I think it is in that ballpark. I don't think it's going to turn into a track meet.
Yeah, I like 27-20 for the Bills at just slightly over the number, and I do agree with the double teaser. I'm not sure if it's going to get over 50.5 there, Gabe, on the seven-pointer, but yeah, I just think it's going to be – it is a great line. The oddsmakers did a great job, and I find it interesting, guys. You know, it opens up 3.5, and you're looking at down 5.5 to 6, down to 5.5 in some spots. So pretty interesting stuff, Gabe. It almost feels like, you know, the Texan money there, people betting on the Texans at that number. But I just think the Bills just cover the number with that touchdown. But yeah, the total, it's just, I think it barely gets over the number.
It was 2.5 last week, except, you know, I told people, we talked about it on the TV show. I don't really think anyone really thought CJ Stroud was going to play this week. So I was surprised the advance number was 2.5 before going into the Texans game this week. And I didn't believe that he was going to be back. I didn't think it would go all the way up to 6, but now sitting back down at 5.5. So listen, the Bills gave up 153 yards a game on the ground. Houston are going to try to run the ball. That's another thing too. They're going to try to like chew up some clock and keep Josh Allen off the field by running the ball. The question is, can they do it? Right. I mean, right. Marks is good, but Marks hasn't had a game where he's actually like gone off and like lit anybody up. So that's the big key in the game tonight. I expect the Buffalo Bills to win, but I think it's going to be a close game. So a massive game in the National Football League for AFC, the AFC playoff implications, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Indianapolis Colts. Let's get into Alex Moore's crew. So Alex Moore is going to be doing the Indianapolis Kansas City game. And if there was ever a game, or if there was ever a team, Joe, that the NFL, you would figure that they would want to throw a lifeline to, would be the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, do they really want the Chiefs out of playoff contention, Joe, by the time the month of December starts? Now, I'm not saying they're going to rig the game for them, but I can't help but think, yeah, the NFL really would like to see the Kansas City Chiefs win this football game. So referee Alex Moore is doing the game. Home teams are 6-4 straight up and 7-3 against the spread this year in his games. This is Moore's first game at Arrowhead Stadium and first game with Kansas City or Indianapolis. Moore's crew leads the National Football League in penalties per game average, area focus, false starts, and offensive holding. Talk to me about the Colts game, and it sounds to me like, Joe, like this Alex Moore guy is the type of cop that would give you a ticket if you were driving 1 mile over the speed limit.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, it's his first season as a head referee, so we're going on very limited data here.
And oh, so it's his first year, so he goes by the book then, basically,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, you get those first-year referees, and they call every little thing. That's why they lead the league in penalties per game. So, and as they progress, they start to ease off on this stuff. But right now, it's his first year. Like you said, first game at Arrowhead Stadium. Extremely intimidating place to play. Everything on the line for the Chiefs here. I don't think anybody, when the season started, when they looked at the schedule, they would have thought that going into this game, Kansas City was 5-5, fighting for their playoff lives. And the Colts were sitting at 8-2, considered one of the best teams in the league. But that's where we're at. So huge game for the Chiefs. They get a lot of calls at home as far as the for and against on the penalty scorecard. You know, you got a rookie referee. He's going to be intimidated by the crowd. They're a good home field, you know, crew as it stands right now through 10 games of the season. So there's a lot to like here about the Chiefs on Sunday.
What do you think of the Chiefs?
I got to be honest with you, Gabe. Like, and I know there's a narrative too. The Chiefs are playing on Thanksgiving, and oh, you know, they're going to be hanging around. But if you really look at the Chiefs, and their defense is not as good as it used to be, the Colts coming off a bye. Gabe, I look at the Colts like resume guys, and you know, the game against the Rams, there was a crazy play in that game, a fumble before the goal line, and the same player with a nuts penalty. This team could be even better than they are. They had one bad game against Pittsburgh, guys. And you know what I'm saying, Joe? Like, I lean Colts in this spot. I think the world just is going to accept, oh, you know, Mahomes is going to get calls in this game. And by the sounds of things, Morenci, good call by you with the statistics, guys. But you know, I think 3.5 is a little too much. And I think the Colts, you know, their one thing is they can get the Mahomes. You just hope that the referees don't get involved, Joe, and decide the game, because they're probably going to get a few calls. Let's just hope they're not very, very key calls at key times.
Well, yeah, you nailed it. They're going to get calls. So now it's a matter of which ones they get and when they get them. Look, it remains to be seen. But look, I'm just giving you the numbers. It's a new crew, like I said. So we're going on very limited data. But home teams have performed well with this crew. The league doesn't do this stuff by accident. They put certain crews on certain games with a, I guess, a goal in mind. Let's put
An
it that way.
agenda.
Yeah, an agenda. Like in basketball, Gabe, basketball is the worst for that. You've opened it up to me with certain referees in the NBA.
I think in an ideal world, the league would like to have Kansas City and Dallas both win on Sunday, and that game on Thanksgiving is absolutely huge. That's essentially a playoff game on Thanksgiving afternoon.
That's a great point, guys. We've got the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend. Even if one of them are able to win, listen, they can sell this either way, but you're right, Joe. If they both win, that's why that Dallas Cowboy loss against Arizona was so egregious a couple of weeks ago. Joe, like, if you're the Cowboys don't suck, right? Like, if you don't lose to Arizona, you're 5-5 right now. You're 500, right? Because, you beat the Raiders. They really failed to take advantage of playing Arizona and Las Vegas and back-to-back games because now they got Philadelphia, Kansas City coming up. But Joe is right. The league would like nothing better to have a big showcase showdown with the Dallas Cowboys and the Kansas City Chiefs on Thanksgiving. I personally think, guys, the Chiefs, I didn't like, you know what? I think the Chiefs are going to have a hard time winning the game, but I think they could pull it off. But I just can't lay points with the Kansas City Chiefs now. I don't, it's not just like they can't stop anybody on defense. Like, normally they can hang their hat on defense over the past years. People didn't talk about it, but they were so great defensively. Chris Jones has aged. They're not stopping the run. Third down conversion rate is pretty bad. Teams are converting on third down. Like, the Chiefs can't get off the field often. Like, teams just keep the ball on them. And I think that's going to be a big problem with Jonathan Taylor. Like, I think Jonathan Taylor is going to be able to run the ball. I think the Chiefs are going to chew a ton of clock up when they have the ball. I think it's sort of like a bully in the schoolyard. People have seen the bully get beat up a couple of times now. People aren't scared of the Chiefs now, right? Like, it's just the aura is starting to wear off a little bit now. And I'm not saying forever. I'm not saying Mahomes' career is over, but this team, Joe, you know what I mean? This sort of Kansas City Chief team, people are on the field and they're realizing, you know what? They're not that good. Right there, this isn't the Chiefs from 3, 4 years ago right now. And everyone talks about their offense all the time, but they're just not making the same stops defensively anymore, Joe.
No, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of wear and tear on a lot of those players. I mean, you think of all the postseason games they've played in the last 5 or 6 years. Here's the thing on Sunday that I think it's kind of one of those things that's tucked away. No one's really talking about it. Is Daniel Jones is, yeah, the Colts are a good team, but in this spot, is Daniel Jones going to rise to the occasion? And we saw him a couple of weeks back at Pittsburgh. I think Daniel Jones had like two interceptions, two
And he
fumbles.
did not. You're right.
Yeah,
You're right. I
that to
can't.
me is the big thing.
Yeah, I can't. You're right. We've seen this. Look at like Sam Darnold, guys, right?
Yep.
Sam Darnold playing great football. Yeah, he's doing great. We go on the road, man, four interceptions, bro, like against the Rams. A lot of these, can they shake that? Like, can they shake it in big games? My whole thing with Daniel Jones and the Colts is they don't really have to rely on him. Right?
True.
Like, he's just part of it. Like, Seattle will have to rely on Sam Darnold. Like,
Yeah.
Seattle don't have the ground game. Walker's good and Charbonnet are okay, but like, they don't have that punishing. Like, listen, we're just going to run the ball down teams' throats and don't worry about it. Our quarterback's not like our star player. They need to throw the ball, they need Darnold to play well. Indianapolis is different. I think it's more like, listen, let's just hand the ball off to Taylor and we'll ease Daniel Jones into the game. So, my gut feel, my pick, guys, is, I'm going to get bold and say Indianapolis effing beats them. I
Yep.
was going to say KC win, but don't cover. I'm going to step up and say the Indianapolis Colts, like, do the rest of the league a favor and actually beat them, like, 24-23. Joe, you've got the Chiefs winning 30-24.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see him losing at home. I mean, this is one of the best home field advantages in the league. Look, they could lose for sure. It's just one of those things, again, the league, look, what's the league want? What's it get? There's always that sort of underlying thought in the back of my head that what's the league want?
Cam, what's your pick?
Oh, I'm with you, Morenci. I actually got to play Colts money line. I like the 3.5. And if Kansas City wins, Gabe, sometimes my dreams suck. The Tua to Detroit dream is one of the worst I've ever had. But I could see Harrison Butker with a last second field goal for maybe KC to escape with a win of 1 point, 24-23. But I'm actually going to play Colts money line. I think they can win. Jonathan Taylor, he can pound the ball. And don't ask, you know what I mean? They don't. Daniel Jones doesn't have to do too much. Pierce has been good. They have a wicked tight end in Warren. And I'll tell you one thing about the Colts D, Gabe. That defensive front can get after it too. So I expect a really, really tight game. And hey, Joe, even if the NFL wants the Chiefs, they can win between 1 and 3 and we can cover by that hook.
No, absolutely. Like, I think overall the Colts are the better team. You just ran through some of the, you know, the personnel. Colts are the better team. Again, it comes back to Daniel Jones. Yeah, they're not going to rely on him, but at the end of the day, he's still a quarterback. He's going to touch the ball, you know, 60 times during the course of the game. And in these spots, can he rise to the occasion?
Yeah, this is going to be a big time test for him, because if he doesn't, people will just dismiss them.
Yeah, right? It's a huge game for Brooklyn. It's a big game, obviously, for the Chiefs because they need to win to stay in playoff contention. But it's a huge game for the Colts to legitimize what they've done to this point this season. This would be sort of the rubber stamp of like, okay, this is the real deal.
Also, Jacksonville, Gabe, they're so inconsistent. They've won a few games that they, you know, they beat down the Chargers. That's the thing. Like, the Colts need to, like, no one thinks this team is real. And if they go into Arrowhead and win, they can get that respect again. So, I think it's vital for the Colts too, Joe.
Yep.
So the Cowboys coming off the nice win against the Las Vegas Raiders. Now they get the Philadelphia Eagles. An Eagle team that kind of underwhelms, but all they do is find ways to win football games. This will be the Eagles' second game with Bill Vinovich. So it's Bill Vinovich doing the game. Second game with Bill Vinovich in 5 weeks. The previous game that he did, the 28-22 win at the Minnesota Vikings. Divisional home teams are 25-32-1. Covering just 44% of the time with Vinovich since 2016, 1-3 in 2025. Vinovich, 34-22-2 to the under in division games as well. Vinovich, we've talked about this, Joe, and is Vinovich the best referee, Joe, now in the National Football League? Because he is, and as Joe writes in his preview, he is the ultimate let him play ref. Like, that, you know, it's funny because I'm old enough to remember years ago that he used to be more of a stickler, but referees evolve. And I know the DBs like Vinovich and defenses like Vinovich because he does have the reputation of letting the players decide and letting them play on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been my favorite referee. Like you said, he lets them play, and that's the way that I prefer the game to be officiated. But I noted in my write-up this week, his crew's become very ticky-tack this season. They rank fifth in penalty per game average, which is insane for these guys. So they have become a lot more hands-on and getting involved far
number
too much.
Number one for pass interference too, right? But you know what? Yeah. I I'm getting flashbacks, and I swear to God, I remember, man, Vinovich used to call pass interference a lot. Like, he used to be high on it. I remember as a Bills fan because – Bills fans used to think that Vinovich had it in for us and stuff. So that's why I know so much about him. I don't know everything about every ref in the NFL, but I know Bill Vinovich. But they ranked number one in offensive pass interference this year. That's interesting. And special teams penalties.
Yes, that's big because Dallas special teams is atrocious. They're one of the most penalized units in the league. So you've got a Vinovich crew that's predisposed to calling special teams penalties, which – in theory, could lead to some long starting field position or bad starting field position for Dallas on Sunday. Now, if Vinovich reverts back to that let him play approach, I really think it favors the Eagles a lot because their defense is just lights out and it's only going to get better. And CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, if Philly can grab him at the line of scrimmage and, you know, manhandle him a little bit, it really plays into the Eagles' hands. But it remains to be seen how they call it. But if they do revert back to letting him play, I like Philly in this one.
Cam, what are your thoughts, Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas Cowboys?
I like the Dallas Cowboys, Gabe. I like these 3.5-point dogs. I really like what I saw. I know it was the Raiders, but they're getting guys back, and that's really important. I really like the way Schottenheimer handled the situation, too, with Lamb and Pickens. You guys want to sit, and then Pickens went absolutely bananas in that game. Loved his toughness. I actually think, you know, with the Eagles' offensive struggles, sure, their D's great, guys, but The one thing about Dallas is this team can, you know, they're still alive, Gabe, but they can maybe go on a little bit of a heater. I think they can actually win this game outright, kind of like the Colts and Chiefs game. So I will take the points with Dallas, and I think Philadelphia could be in for a rude awakening, and this is good news for business when the Cowboys play on Thanksgiving. So I'm going to take the points with the Cowboys, sprinkle on the money line.
I mean, that's good analysis, Cam. I've been riding the Eagles. If you've been following my account, I've been riding the Eagles for a long while now, so I've kind of just kept with it just because. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, like you said, if Dallas wins on Sunday, it's better for me, really. It's better for everyone because it keeps them in contention and it sets up a huge game on Thanksgiving. So I wouldn't be against Dallas winning, and they very well could.
I think, you know, you guys are right. Listen, it's better for the league and better for Thanksgiving. And just from an entertainment standpoint, you know, that, oh, Dallas are back in the playoff mix right now. A lot of people don't like Philadelphia either, right? This is what happens, right? When you win games, teams, you know, people start to not like you. Oh, they're the tush-push. Their offense sucks. They're lucky to win, like, right? So, you know, the hate begins to build. I was on the Cowboys on Monday, guys, but I look at this and, you know, Joe, you're talking about riding the Eagles, and I kind of kick myself every time I bet against them because they don't get any effing respect from anybody.
Right.
Dude, they don't. Yeah. They don't get any respect. You know, guys, in their last 31 games, they're 26-5.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Yeah. I mean,
they're 26. They're 26-5. All right. In their last 31 football games, they've lost five times. Right. They don't lose. They're 21-10 against the spread during that run. So think about that. You know, because I know I talked about this on Sunday going into the Lion game. They were 25-5. Sirianni and Barkley and company. They played 30 games. They were 25-5. Now it's 26-5. Yeah, Joe, look back. The game was basically a pick 'em against the Green Bay Packers, an injured Green Bay Packer team. Last week, a Detroit Lion team with already three losses, the choke in every big game that they effing play in. Same thing. Big game was almost like, you know, you're getting a couple of points with the Lions only. Here we go again. What, because the Dallas Cowboys beat the Raiders? The Eagles are only three-point favorites? Like, it's amazing how little respect the Eagles get. I just can't overlook that. And, you know, the Raiders with Ashton Jeanty, they can't run the ball. Their offensive line sucks, and Chip Kelly's an idiot. They didn't even try to run the ball. The Dallas Cowboys can't stop a run. This will be a big day, Joe, for me, in my opinion, for Saquon. The Eagles are going to get the ground game going here. The Eagles' offense will get it going against the Cowboys. I see a three. Cam said 3.5. I don't know. Maybe at FanDuel's. I see Bet365's got a 3. I think the number's too light. I'm on the Eagles, Joe.
Yeah. I mean, look, they're an all-star team. To me, they're still the best team in the league until proven otherwise.
And that's like a big game. Sorry, guys. It's a big game for the Eagles, too. They got the Rams on their ass for number one seed in the NFC.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a huge game for both teams. Obviously, Dallas needs it more because they lose. They're probably done for the year. But, I'm going to keep riding the Eagles until they start losing.
A total 47.5 in that game. All right, before we get you out of here, Joe, I know you've got the rest of the write-ups to get to, but the Sunday nighter is interesting. Tampa Bay and the Rams, the wheels have kind of fallen off for Tampa Bay. And, man, this Ram team is dangerous. And I told someone this a couple of weeks ago. No one listened to me about the little symmetry here, but I can't help but think, Joe, our boy Clayton Kershaw in the Los Angeles Dodgers just went out a winner, right? You know, three-time champion, goes out a winner and retires. while Clayton Kershaw, his high school teammate, his catcher, happens to be a Hall of Fame NFL quarterback named Matt Stafford, who won a championship already, like Kershaw. Both took a while to win. They both got their championships. And I almost see the symmetry here of, like, Stafford winning a championship and riding off into the sunset like Kershaw did. And, you know, it's almost like one of the craziest stories ever that these two, like, grew up together, ended up, like, with the careers that they had. And it's funny because they're not, like, ultimate best friends now, right? They get along now and they hang out every once in a while. But, you know, it's not like, oh, they're joined at the hip, but they were. I mean, their stories are just sort of connected. But I've got the Rams, man, as that team to compete the Eagles for real in the playoffs. The thing is, though, the Rams got to host the game, Joe. I don't think the Rams could go to Philadelphia and beat them.
No, I agree. I agree. They're going to have it at SoFi. Look, Philadelphia's been the bump in the road for the Rams. They've played three times in the last year, and Philly's beaten them every single time. So, yeah, that remains to be seen whether they even get there. But, yeah.
McVay's getting frustrated by it.
He is. Yes.
His frustration with losing to the Eagles, but they're close. Yeah. Is there anyone else? Like, if you look at the NFC, Joe, like, do you see anyone else as a legitimate contender? Because to me, and I think we're getting, and there's still a lot of football left, but in the big picture here, I really do think that it is Philadelphia, LA, and then everybody else. But that NFC West is a good division, right? Seattle are dangerous, and San Francisco, whatever, dude. I mean, it is what it is. They don't have anybody, but they're winning games, and you can't dismiss San Francisco either. But what are your thoughts on the NFC picture, Joe?
Yeah, you pretty much summed it up. Right now, Philly and the Rams, they're cut above everybody else as of right now, and that they look to be on a collision course at some point in the playoffs, hopefully the NFC Championship. But, you know, things happen. I mean, it's unfortunate, but injuries do happen. And, look, you know how it is. You get to the playoffs, and you have one bad quarter, one bad half, and things go off the tracks real quick. So, yeah, right now they look the two best teams, but there's a lot of football to be played.
The Monday nighter, Carolina and San Francisco, another huge game. Carolina is actually in the playoff mix right now, guys, and if they win this game, they will be in the playoffs as of, like, the standings are concerned. So Carolina literally fighting for a playoff spot on Monday night and battling for a division title as well. So, like, Carolina are doing so well that they're in the mix for a wild card. They're in the mix for their division title. They have a couple of opportunities to get into the playoffs, different avenues, different paths. They have to go out there and win games still, but Carolina playing great football right now the progress. But Alex Kemp doing a game. Anything we should know about Alex Kemp and or Clay Martin Sunday night and Monday night?
Yeah, he got the Sunday night game with a controversial ending with the Eagles. The 49ers in the Purdy Shanahan era have done very, very well with Alex Kemp officiating. But here's another thing, and I haven't posted it yet. Favorites with Alex Kemp. This is dating back to the start of the 2024 season. Favorites are 25-2 straight up and 22-5 against the spread.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Maybe I won't take Carolina.
Yeah, I was looking at Carolina. Switch.
It's one of those.
That's nuts.
It's a historic run. It's one of those random things, but I figured out something I've kept tabs on for quite a while, and I keep waiting for it to sort of revert back to normal, but it hasn't. So, yeah, Alex Kemp officiated games since the start of 2024, so 27-game sample size. Favorites 25-2 straight up, 22-5 against the spread, 82%.
Joe Gibbs, NFL ref stats, one on X. Great insight, Joe. I'm glad that we got you on. So, like I said, Joe will have complete breakdowns for every NFL game and the refereeing crew, and Joe gives his predictions for the games as well. As we mentioned, Bill Vinovich, 34-22-2 under in the totals in division games. So a lot of, like, really interesting trends you're not going to find anywhere else but with Joe. Great stuff, Joe, man. Thanks for joining us. Where are you this week, Joe? Are you in L.A. or Las Vegas?
In Las Vegas right now. I'll be at the Sportsbook Sunday, catching all the action.
Oh, nice. Where do you go? Do you go down to Circa, or where do you go?
No, I go down to the South Point, actually, on a Sunday afternoon. I'll watch the early games at home often, and then I'll go to the South Point down on the south end of the Strip.
I like
Joe's,
the South
Point. Joe's a local. See,
yes, yeah, exactly, Gabe. You go to the Sun Coast or the South Point, and all the horse players go there too. They treat their horse players well there. I like their horse book. Cheap hot dogs too.
South Point is one of the. There's a few though, but South Point is one of the few locations in Vegas that is sort of recession proof.
Oh, absolutely!
Great call, Gabe.
They treat everybody really well.
Yeah, like they don't rely on tourists. Locals like really like it, and sharper tourists like that have been around for a while really like it. Like people complain, and I stir the pot on Twitter all the time about, like, I mean, guys, you saw the other day, Joe, I think you saw me talking about it. Somebody posted a picture, the ATM fee at Caesar's Palace. How much would you pay, Cam, to take money? Like, what would be your cutoff for like an ATM fee?
Probably around $10, but if I'm playing blackjack, 15 or 20 would probably be, I'd be pissed, but what is it? $50?
$44.
No, you can pay $44 for an ATM. That's highway robbery. That's that's disgusting. That's dinner.
$44.
Are you kidding me?
Like, imagine like if you took out $40, like, you're
$40. Mr. Morency, like, here's 84 for 40. Enjoy your day.
I almost do that too, because then you're like, wow. If I'm taking this, I'm already paying $40. Exactly. I might as well take $1,000 out now,
exactly,
right?
Because
they
kind
of like, they know like how to get you, so they're double nailing you twice with that.
That is excessive. Wow, that's crazy. That's almost illegal. But I guess they can get away.
They got me yesterday. A sports book got me. Bet Online actually got me yesterday with that. Where I deposited with a credit card and it was like a 13% charge.
Which
a lot of books, Joe, like, don't do that. Like, Bet365, there's zero charge and stuff, right? So I'm like, what the hell? 13% charge? And lo and behold, right away, Joe, I was like, well, if I'm paying 13%, I'm going to put, like, you know, I'm going to put a little bit more in. So I'm, you know, might as well just get it over with for one time. But the whole thing with Bet Online, it's not like they're crooks or anything like that, but it's the, you know, it's the modern era. They basically said, like, Joe, zero fee if you use Bitcoin or crypto stuff.
Right.
It's one of those. They don't want to do, because credit card, they're waiting for the payment. And Bet Online is kind of in an offshore world and stuff. So they have a hard time. These books, same with Bookmaker. Bookmaker's a really good book. Like, they've been around forever. Like, but Bookmaker's like pinnacle. Like, Bookmaker.
For sure.
I remember years ago, I was an affiliate with Bookmaker, and I got into it with them on the phone once about something. And I told them, I said, you know, you guys, I said, you're a great book, but your customer service sucks. You guys are like, really, like, you're like gangsters on the phone. I said, man, you're going to scare people away. And he said, we don't want new customers. Don't you understand? And like, it was funny the way they told me.
What a line.
Yeah, he goes, the guy, and I got a call. Buddy told me, like, we stopped arguing. He goes, listen, he goes, I don't know if you really understand like this book, but he goes, we don't cater to like the $50 player here. We're not here for customer service. He started laughing. Like, he goes, we're not here for customer service. He goes, if you want to get $100K down on a game, that's what we're here for. But we're not here for your little, like, your complaints about, you know what I mean? Like, some of these publicly traded books, they got to take your shit. Like, it's like McDonald's or something. They're a publicly traded company. So, like, you know, these guys are a little bit different, but it's the same thing. Like, they really encourage like the modern forms of payment. Because of, like, it's hard. Think about it. You're on some island. You're in Mauritius or something like that. It's not easy to process millions of dollars a day in winners through the United States, right? Just through the banking system and stuff. So, like, they prefer, like, that's why I Bet Online. It's like, all right, you can use the traditional methods, but we're going to ding you because we're trying to really push you to start betting with Bitcoin and stuff like that. But imagine how confusing that is, Cam. I want to bet Bitcoin is worth $99,000 of Bitcoin now. So what are you going to do? 0.007. Like, you're going to be figuring out a chart, Joe? Are you a crypto guy, Joe?
That's amazing.
No, I'm not. Gold and silver. That's what happened. They don't transact in gold and silver.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
That's my deal. I was looking at that just last night, actually. Now that the prices are coming down a little bit, I think it's a good time to start to buy in on silver again. People are
Silver's the one, man. Silver.
Yeah, exactly,
silver.
Joe. It's funny because gold peaked this year, got really stupid crazy, and then it sort of slowed down. And now Silver's in some sort of fade camp. People are fading Silver. They're not buying Silver suddenly.
Like so.
And Silver in the long term, whatever. Like you said, it's a good deal, Joe. Yeah, we got our eyes on everything. And in fact, on Sports Grid, we're starting to talk about the poly market stuff now. Some wild stuff, Joe, like that. You see that poly market and Kalshi stuff?
Yes. A lot of accounts, I see a lot of accounts now say powered by Kalshi.
Yeah, yeah. Like the sports leagues have gotten in bed with them, which surprised me.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty shady stuff what they did. Like they just basically bypass. I don't know how they're getting away with this. Like, to be honest with you, I don't get it. But they are. And one thing, they were smart. They put Donald Trump Jr. on the board of Polymarket.
That'll get you some brownie points, yeah.
Well, you know what it'll do? It'll get the FBI off your ass and the feds off your ass.
Exactly. You get the right people on there, and all of a sudden you're untouchable.
Exactly.
Are the FBI and Cash Patel going to investigate? They're going to say, oh, this Polymarket stuff violated gaming regulations. Well, who owns it? Oh, Don Jr. and his friends.
Right.
Well, yeah. Okay, so I told someone the other day, they said, man, this Polymarket stuff's crazy. I said, yeah, if the Democrats win the next election, watch out. Because they just sort of, there's a lot of fast-tracking stuff going on right now behind the scenes in the world. And yeah, this Kalshi stuff. And I think he's got a piece of Kalshi. Like, they were very smart, the people that they put on the board of this stuff. But man, yeah, you can wager on anything, guys. Like literally everything. Like, here's the...
Yeah, will it snow in Chicago on Christmas Day? Stuff like that.
My favorite one is, will the U.S. admit that alien life exists in 2026?
What's the yes?
It's 90 to 1 yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So $10 get you $900 back, $1,009, et cetera. The way I look at it is, one of these years they're going to admit it. And with everything that's going on now with everything, it would be a nice little distraction, actually. Hey, forget about the Epstein list. We've got alien life, right? Like, you know, well, like, I mean, nothing.
It depends. How do you define alien life? Like, it could be like a little microcosm living on Jupiter somewhere. Technically, it's life. I'm talking about like
that's a good.
That's the thing. How do they distinguish it, Gabe? To precipitation, was it rain or was it snow? Did it turn? Yeah. Like, I don't like those bets.
Well, this is the problem with everything with the poly market is that they don't have enough definition of this stuff.
Right.
Of, like you said, so what? Does it have to be a little green man who looks like E.T.? Or, like, what is it like? You know what I mean? Like,
he was great.
Like, you know, like you said, because there's microcosms now out there, right? I mean, they found stuff on Mars that, like, oh, you know what? Maybe something was, you know, living here. I guess what's the deal? I'm not a scientist, but where there's water, there's life. And there was water on Mars, just point blank. So, you know, but we'd be naive. We'd be naive to believe that there's not other civilizations and worlds and stuff like that. But yeah, this is some wild, wild stuff that that Polymarket has and Kalshi has as well. But thanks for joining us, Joe. Fun stuff. Let's we'll catch up again, Joe. Thanks for joining us, man.
Great. Thanks, guys. Good luck this weekend.
You too, Joe.
Joe Gibbs with some good NFL breakdown of the referees. Like I said, Joe's the only guy that does it, that can tell you about the point spreads and, like, man, that's a lot of work that he has to put in to know about each ref and what they do.
That 49ers stuff, Gabe, was nuts. Like, what was the number with the 49ers? That
25 and 2.
Oh my God. That's staggering. Like, when you think about it, that's crazy.
Yeah. You figure though, some of this stuff is random and some of it isn't, right? I mean,
that's true.
I mean, it's not like, you know, like the favorites, the underdogs, except there are little, like, things though and reasons why. Like we said with the with Vinovich being an under, and, you know, some of these other referees being unders because they don't call stuff, or if you call a lot of offensive, like, false start penalties and offensive holding penalties, it's going to hurt the offense. It's going to lead to unders. But Joe does a great job of isolating referees and what they call, and digging deeper, not just from a point spread perspective, guys, from the game, but Joe's stats and this work that he shares with us, really good for prop bettors as well, right? If you know, right, they call pass interference, they don't call pass interference, they call holding, you know, you can sort of, it helps you sort of look at the way the game script is going to play out a little bit. So as far as the game script for tonight, it's no secret. The Buffalo Bills' weakness is their rush defense. They're giving up 153 yards a game on the ground. which is pretty pathetic and embarrassing considering Sean McDermott is a defensive guy and he takes pride in this stuff, but it is what it is. But with that being stated, the Bills do only give up 22 points a game, so it's not like they're getting killed defensively on a weekly basis. Yeah, they're going to play in track meets. It's going to happen. But which leads us to Woody Marks. So Woody Marks tonight, big key for his football game, running back for the Houston Texans. Can Woody Marks take advantage of the Buffalo Bills? And listen, the Houston Texans offensive line is no good either. So a lot of people love Woody Marks tonight in his over rushing yard prop. He's never gone over 64.5. He's gotten close. He got to 62. He got to 63. He had 44 in the last game. So a lot of people are sort of running to the window tonight. Oh, Woody Marks going to go off tonight on the Buffalo Bills. He hasn't before, and his number is up to 65.5 right now. Nick Chubb is at 21.5. Davis Mills. You know what? David Mills is sneaky. He's sneaky elusive, actually, for a big, tall, lanky white dude that looks like a giraffe. His neck, biggest neck in sports, longest neck.
Jar Jar Binks and Davis Mills, long necks.
Yeah, he's like one of these African ladies with like 12 rings, like in, you know, the Serengeti on their neck and stuff, like they have stretched out necks.
Carrying huge bowls of water. Yes.
That's Davis Mills. But Davis Mills, 14, the last two games, he had 20 yards rushing and 14 yards rushing. So it's 9.5 tonight.
Good call.
So I'm just warning people as far as Woody Marks is concerned. Yeah, because the Bills have had a couple of big runs on them. Doesn't mean that Woody Marks is going to go off. He's never rushed for that many yards before, but he could pop a big one. I get it. But for me, we talked about it earlier. The Houston Texan defense is elite. They're going to get to Josh Allen tonight a couple of times. I think tonight is a night where Josh is going to take off. Mm-hmm. There'll be a few instances where he's going to have to. There's the one thing with Houston Texans. Their defense is very aggressive, and quarterbacks have had success scrambling against them because they'll over-pursue you, right? They'll get to the quarterback. Everyone will get there, and then, boom, Allen, you know, has a bunch of green space in front of him. Allen's prop is up to 32.5 now. I believe it'll climb throughout the day. It was like 30.5 earlier in the week, and it's just creeping up right now. He's coming off a 40-yard performance in his last game, Josh Allen on the ground. The more desperate the Bills get, the more he runs, right? If the Bills are rolling and life is good, like, he's not going to take off. They don't design runs for him anymore. Like, he's literally had like 4 design run plays this year, which I find to be stupid. They should run him more. He's not going to, he's big, but they don't want to get him hurt. And he only really runs when he has to. But I get the feeling that there's going to be a couple of times tonight where Allen is going to say, F this, I'm just going to run someone over. So it's 32.5. I think it gets there. James Cook is going to score a touchdown tonight. Yep. Cook is their second leading scorer on the football team after Josh Allen. Josh Allen's rushed for 10 touchdowns this year. James Cook has 8. Kincaid has 4, but Kincaid is out again. But look for James Cook to get into the end zone at -125. Look for Josh Allen rushing yards over 31.5 in this football game, up to 32. Right now. All right, we'll get out of here. NHL hockey, big slate of NHL games tonight, actually. The Toronto Maple Leafs host the Columbus Blue Jackets, who Bill Simmons called the most irrelevant franchise in sports yesterday. You know, the Leafs survived the other night against St. Louis, but it's crazy to see the Leafs are a home underdog tonight against Columbus, and I kind of get it because I think Columbus will beat them.
Me too, Gabe. I like the Columbus Blue Jackets, especially in Columbus. It's one of those things that you talk about, like Bills have problems in Houston. Columbus owns Toronto. I think they're a play tonight. Your Montreal Canadiens, Washington's coming off that win against Edmonton. It was deplorable defensive performance by the Oilers. They're a buck 30 right now. I don't mind that. St. Louis could be a dog against Philadelphia. I think they'll be a little bit desperate. What else am I looking at in the NHL tonight? Utah Mammoth at home against Vegas. That looks interesting to me. And no, Ottawa Senators getting no respect. Anaheim played last night and got it done, but I like Ottawa -130 against the Anaheim Ducks too, Morenci.
Yeah, I don't like too much in the NHL tonight. If you'll notice, there's a bunch of teams that are playing all the time right now because of the Olympics that are coming up. We have a condensed schedule in the National Hockey League. And, you know, you figure the Blue Jackets would beat the Leafs, but man, the Jackets are in a weird scheduling spot. Like, they've been all over the place this week. Like, they're literally just flying, like, you know, to Canada, back here, there, home game, road games. Like, so Columbus have been dancing around and popping up everywhere. So that scares me off there. The Devils are beat up right now and injured. So scares me off the plus 125 against the Panthers. Islanders playing really good hockey. They're plus 115 against the Red Wings. It's actually a pretty interesting game tonight. I'm going to ride the wave here with the Chicago Blackhawks. We took them the other night against the Calgary Flames. I didn't understand the number. They were plus 100 against a team that they were better than. And now they're minus 115 against the Seattle Kraken. The Blackhawks are better than the Kraken are. You know, like the Blackhawks this year, this Blackhawk team is better than the Kraken are right now. And the Blackhawks have gone from being big underdogs all the time to now kind of like pick them because they're winning so much. Right. So I'm going to keep on riding this wave until the odds makers kind of catch up to the Blackhawks. I mean, they're 5-1 in their last six games. All they do is win games, Chicago. And every game is just basically a pick 'em or they're underdogs. So give me the Chicago Blackhawks minus 115. Blackhawks minus 115. And man, the Dallas Stars are playing the Vancouver Canucks. There's no logical reason to say the Canucks will win this game, but the Canucks are a weird team. I think the Canucks could actually win this game, but I'll get my pick on TV tonight. All right, enjoy the game, Buffalo Bills game, Cam, with the Houston Texans.
You too, Moretti. Also, I think one thing, Shakir, I'm not sure about his yardage, but over 4.5 receptions. The one problem the Houston defense has, despite being elite, is slot receivers. And I think Shakir could be a big part of the offense. And I love your Josh Allen play. I think he busts like a couple big runs tonight for the Bills.
Shakir had like one catch last week, so he is due to bounce back. I don't know. One thing that's frustrating, it's not well frustrating, it is what it is, but from a Bills betting perspective, and I'm a hardcore Bills fan, is they don't have go-to guys. Like it could be anybody. Like Josh Allen really just throws it to the open guy. Like he's not locked in on one guy. It's difficult. It's difficult from a touchdown prop perspective. It's difficult from a wide receiver perspective for receptions. The Bills are a tricky team for props. That's why I always just sort of fall back on James Cook as much as I do. And it's unfortunate because Dalton Kincaid, like, it was almost like my Dodger bets. It's like, yeah, dude, whatever, dude. Just take Betts, Freeman, and Ohtani over 1.5 total bases each, and you'll go 2-1 every game at least, right? It was one of those deals with the Bills before. It was kind of easy. It was like, all right, we'll go Josh Allen, James Cook, Dalton Kincaid, right? Cook, touchdown, Kincaid. If they throw a touchdown, Kincaid's going to get one. If they run one, Cook's going to get one, or Allen's going to get one. It was kind of obvious, but Kincaid's out now. And Dawson Knox doesn't catch touchdowns like Kincaid does. So suddenly, like, Dawson Knox will catch passes, but now, you know, like, the touchdowns would go to anybody. So it is very, it's tricky with the Bills. College football tonight, we've got ULL, Louisiana Lafayette, Louisiana taking on Arkansas State. Game is in Arkansas State. It's a big game for both these football teams. Arkansas State are 5-5, ULL are 4-6, or they're both trying to get into a bowl game. I like Arkansas State tonight to get it done. So we'll play Arkansas State minus -3, or you know what? I see it's 48 cents on the money line. I'll do the money line instead. So give me Arkansas State to beat ULL tonight. Other than that, you're on your own. We'll catch you on the grid later.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.